Or you preach.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a good looking crowd. Good stuff. Well, we don't have much time. I'm going to grab this down here. They say you guys only go to, is it quarter after one? Oh, it's quarter after 12, sorry. Just going to share a little bit with you here before we get into the Word. We have these prayer cards at the back of the table. Feel free to take one home. They're free. And there's information on there. They actually commissioned us as full-time missionaries from our home chapel. And we're connected with MSC Canada. Because we do a lot of mission work, we're going after monthly support now. When we use MSC, they can give income tax receipts for giving. So that's part of that. And I'm going to let you guys look yourself, but there's a bunch of new CDs and this one big project. You can buy Crystal's complete collection. When you buy it like that, it's half price, okay? And you want to take that, honey? And that's a quick advertisement for the music. Anyway, praise God. Just want to give a kind of a short report on what's been happening. I mean, God's taken us all over the country. And years ago, it's like the Lord asked me, what do you want, Herb? And I said, I want souls. And God has taken us to so many places, and we've seen so many people come to Christ. It's just been phenomenal. And we just don't do churches. We do, like Crystal said, we've been in over 200 Walmarts across North America. We do rodeos and jamborees and fairs and parades and just wherever the Lord takes us, you know. And one area He's taken us to some really remote places here in Canada. Like, it's easy to assume that everybody's heard about Christ in Canada. We think that our country's a Christian nation. Well, there's a lot of places that have no Christian influence, where they have not heard about Jesus. And especially up north on the reserves in northern BC, northern Alberta, where God has connections up there. And so just this last summer, well, Crystal got to sing at the Calgary Stampede Parade this year, which was a real highlight for her. But we also did the Williams Lake Rodeo. That's the second largest rodeo in Canada. And we had 900 people come out for Cowboy Church. Anybody ever been to Cowboy Church? Why would I ask that question in a fishing village? I know. But anyway, while we were up there, we did the Cowboy Church. We did a house church. They had me do a fishing camp. I did a kind of a revival for a men's group at a fishing camp. And also, we tried to get into some reserves. I worked with a shantyman up in that end of the country. And we tried to. You have to contact the chiefs. If you can't get a hold of them, you're not going to get in. That's that simple. They're the ones who make the decision. Chiefs are like pastors. You got to talk to the head honcho. But anyway, what happened was, is John, the shantyman, said, Herb, listen, it doesn't look like we're going to get in reserves. Do you mind going home early? And I said, no. I said, whatever the Lord wants. And he said, let's just give it to the Lord. Let's just put it in His hands. And so we did. And the next day, we got a call from one of the reserves. And they said, we don't want you to come for one day. We want you to come for three. And we went there. And on the way there, the Lord told me not to take up a love offering for ourselves. And so when we went there, I said that we're not taking any offering for us. But we found out that there was a family that lost a son 6 months prior to cancer. And they were trying to raise money for a cancer project. And so I said, if we take up an offering, let's give the money to this family for their project. And in 3 days, they raised close to $1,000, which is huge on a reserve. To make a long story short, they knew why we were there. We were there because to love them and to share the word with them. And in 3 days, 32 people came to Christ. And that makes a huge difference on a small reserve, right? You think 32 people on a small reserve, that's a huge difference. And what's so exciting about that is that a family had just moved back into the reserve that they had left years ago. And this husband and wife are tremendous Christians. And we heard not too long ago that they're involved in Bible studies and prayer meetings. So these new disciples, new believers are being discipled. So these are the places that we're going, and it's very exciting. And And we don't know where the Lord's going to take us, but we're willing to go. And so we've teamed up with many people, and I just want to tell you that you guys are part of that. You're Crystal's home church here, and you know, she grew up here, and you taught her Bible study, you know, and she came to church, and she sang sometimes four times on Sunday, and you know, look what she's doing now, and you have a part of that, and I think it's so important to invest in young lives, because there's new youth coming up, and perhaps God could use them on the mission field, or maybe they'll be a team, a pastoral team or something. You just never know where our kids are going to end up or what they're going to do. But it's our prayer, amen, that they serve God, amen? And so we just want to say thank you for taking the time, investing in her life, and helping us with our mission. So that's what's going on. If you want to know more about what's going on, I mean, I could sit down and talk to you for a couple hours easy. We're still at beside the Twilas in our motorhome. We're coming and going all the time. We're busy while we're down here, but get a hold of us. We can be gotten a hold of. Amen. So, okay, turn your Bibles to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16. And I just love this portion of Scripture. I'm using a New King James. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 14. It reads this. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple in the city of Tyria who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house to stay." So she persuaded us. Now, may God truly bless the reading of his powerful word. Just a few short things we can take from this. God loves us so much. He loves us desperately. We can be so busy in our daily routine and what we do and where we go that sometimes we may not even think about God's love. But he loves us so much. In fact, that he cares about everybody on this shore. Not only does he care everybody on the shore, but, you know, this province and this country and this world. And really, it's God's plan that every person would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, we look at verses like 2 Peter, was it 3:9? It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us." That means he's patience towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. And we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God's plan is for all of mankind, just not a select few, just not for a hand-picked few. It's for the entire world. And so what happens is, because he loves us so much, that God will bring anything in our path, a circumstance, a situation, a person, to try to get our attention, to let us know that he loves us and he has a plan for us, even if we have our own plan, we have our own agenda, right? We get up in the morning and some people make lists. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And somehow if something gets interrupted, somebody gets upset. But here's the deal. God's got a plan. And when God starts something, he finishes it. Amen? And so there's many here today that know and love the Lord. And somehow, some way, you heard about Jesus. Someone told you about the Lord. And prior to that, the most wonderful thing was that God opened up your heart. Even though Lydia was doing her own thing, probably, you know, doing her thing every day, worshiping the Lord, thinking that that's all, that was enough. That's all that it took. But God knows more. We can't get to heaven by association. It's just not enough that you're a Baptist. It's just not enough that you've given the offering plate. It's not enough that you know the pastor or his wife or you know Christians. You know, there are some people that they can come to church their whole life and miss the mark. Because just not coming to church gets you saved. Jesus does that. Amen? I remember years ago we were in a place in North Dakota. It was a nursing home. There was 12 people in this home and kind of an old folks nursing home combination. And And Crystal sang beautifully, and the Lord had me open up the Word, and then I gave an altar call, and 8 of those 12 people gave their heart to the Lord. That's powerful. But there was an old cowboy sitting there over there all by himself, right? And the Lord said, Herbie, go talk to that cowboy. I went over there, and I asked him what his name was, asked him what he liked to do, and he says, well, I can't work anymore, but I love to read. I'll go out to the ranch, and maybe 2 or 3 days a week I'll read, right? And I said, well, that sounds good. I said, have you ever read the Bible, right? And he says, I have. I've read the Bible from cover to cover, but it makes no sense to me. I don't get it. And I said, I know why. He said, why? I said, would you let me read a Bible verse to you? Because the truth is found in the Word of God. He said, go ahead. And I turned to 1 Corinthians 2:14. And this is what I read. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then the Lord said, be quiet, Herbie, don't say anything else. But I could see that old cowboy thinking. I mean, you can tell sometimes when someone thinks. His eyes were going around. He was kind of searching, kind of thinking. And he says, Herb, I said, yeah. He said, does that mean I've got to be saved before I understand the Bible? I said, bingo. That was a revelation from the Lord, right? That was a revelation from God. You know, as a believer, it says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we are part of the body of Christ, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's the things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. God brings new things in our life, new desires, new wants, a new way to live. And so we need to know that. So just coming to church doesn't make you saved. Just being a Baptist doesn't make you saved, or a Pentecost, or a Lutheran, or Catholic. We need to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul and Silas knew this. They had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're sensitive to his leading. You know, they could have had, Paul and Silas could have had their own agenda. They could have walked right by Lydia and left her alone worshiping the Lord. But God said, I want you to stop, and I want you to talk to Lydia. And prior to that, God opened up Lydia's heart. And nothing's going to happen in our own walk with God unless God opens up the heart of man, right? It's a spiritual thing. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not a sacrificial thing. It's a God thing. That's what it is. And so wherever we go, one prayer that we have is, Lord, wherever we go, please, Lord, open up the hearts of the people that have been closed to the gospel. Remove the veil from their eyes. There's a verse that I would like to read to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, it says this, but even if our gospel is veiled, is the veil to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, who is Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan puts a veil on people's eyes. And it's only God that can remove that veil. And when God removes that veil and opens up a person's heart, no longer do they look at man. No longer do they look for excuses not to come into the kingdom of God. They're anxious to receive the truth. And it's my hope and prayer, and we pray this wherever we go, that God would remove the veil from people's eyes, that he would open the heart of men and women, boys and girls of all ages, that they would see the value in knowing Christ, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Just talked about the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming back. You don't hear a lot about that anymore. There's a number of things we don't hear too much anymore. We don't hear about holiness. We don't hear about personal sacrifice or self-denial. And one thing we don't talk about as much as we should is the coming of Christ. Listen, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. If you're ready or not, he's coming back. And that's why we need to be ready. That's why God has Crystal and I on the road to going to all these places. We're not on a holiday. We used to come back from our mission trips, and our friends would say, how was your holiday? I just like to love them. The spirit of choke came upon me. No. No, it's not easy. But God's given us a passion. He's given us a passion to win the lost. I mean, Crystal, she lives like a gypsy. There's not very many women would live like her. Oh, it may seem like it's glamorous for a little while. You want to know how glamorous it is? Come live in our motor home for a week, where you're bumping into each other all the time, you know, and there's just no room. But the thing is that that means nothing. God's put it in our heart to go out there and talk to people about Jesus. And as the Lord opened up her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, it's our prayer that wherever we go, that God opens up the hearts of the people who are exposed to the gospel, that they would heed the things spoken through the word of God, right? That God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Things can change through the power of God. And we're not wasting our time. And we're happy that you're here. And I know there are some tremendous believers in this room, because I know you, but there's others that I don't. And it's my hope and prayer that you all know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're just not being exposed to the gospel, that you just don't have some understanding of the gospel, right? But that you can receive it fully into your heart. And that would radically change your life. You see, there needs to be a transformation when you give your heart to Jesus. There's a transformation. Without that transformation in your life, there is no salvation. I believe it's just not about saying a prayer. It needs to be a way of life. It needs to be a way of life. And you know, once I went up to a person once and they said, "Herbie, what are you?" I said, "I'm a born-again believer." He said, "What are you? I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb." "What are you?" I know what he was getting at. He said, "Where were you saved?" "I was saved in a Baptist church." "Then you're a Baptist." I said, "Who cares?" "I'm a child of God." Denomination. There'd be no denomination. How many know there's going to be no denominations in heaven? As a matter of fact, there is. We're all going to be united. If you like it or not, we're all going to be united up there. Amen? I'm glad you can laugh. I'm glad you can smile. We preached in this one place once, and it was like we were preaching to the living dead. The only way I knew they were alive, I could see the white of their eyes move. And that's the truth. But you're not dead. Like Crystal said, you're not dead. So you can still make a decision. And it's really only by the grace of God that some of us are alive today. If it wasn't for the grace of God, some of us would have been gone a long time ago. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And he wants you to get it. He wants you to get it. You know, in Newfoundland, when you reach for something, you're around the table and you have a big meal over there and they don't pass stuff. You have to reach for it. You know what they say? Make a long arm. God wants us to make a long arm and receive him. We got to come to him, right? And take hold. Take hold of the Lord and see that he's good. And so what do we do now? I mean, wherever we go, we give people an opportunity to receive the Lord. And like, I know there's a lot of Christians here, but I don't know that you're all ready. I don't know that you're all saved. I know death is no respecter of persons. We think that death, when I was young, I thought only old people die. How many know that's not true? And we don't know when God is going to take us out of here. We don't know when our last moment on earth is going to be over. But one thing for sure is, you're here, and God's given you another chance to get right with him. Last night we were in Lawrencetown, and 5 people gave their heart to the Lord. It was just wonderful. I could have taken it for granted that everybody was saved, but I know better. And who am I talking to now? I'm talking to the children. I'm talking to the teenagers, the mums and dads, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, because the gospel is for everyone. One thing I asked Leon, I said, "Leon, I had the privilege of leading Leon to the Lord when he was 73 years old. And I said to Leon, I said, "Leon, if you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven?" He said, "Nobody ever asked me a question like that before." I said, "Well," I said, "you've been preparing your whole life for retirement, and things really haven't turned out like you thought they would. Sometimes, how many know the golden years aren't so golden?" But I said, "Have you prepared for eternity?" He said, what do you mean? I says, because we're going to be living forever, either with God or without him. And if you prepare for eternity in the right way, things will turn out a whole bunch better than you ever expected. He said, how can I prepare for eternity? I said, by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I said, would you like to do that? He said, well, of course I would. How about you? How about you? Are you ready? We've experienced some heartache here in this community, terrible, heartbreaking things. The good news is we know where our friends are. They're where we want to be someday. But are you ready? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? That's a fair question. It's not, you're saying, Herbie, you're not beating around the bush, are you? I said, no, I'm not, because time is short, and this is important. If you were to die today, are you sure that you'd go to heaven? You know, there's such a thing as assurance of salvation. Someone said, how can you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? I said, it's in the Word. It's in the Bible. 1 John 5:11 and 12, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The question is, do you have the Son? If you have the Son, you have that life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. Remember, I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you're a member of the choir or the ladies' missionary group or the men's breakfast deal thing. Have you ever, by faith, asked Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Have you? How about everybody? Would everybody just bow their heads and close their eyes? Nobody looking around? We're not going to embarrass anybody. That's not why we're here. We're here because we love you and we're concerned for your soul. Here's the deal. That was a fair question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And if you can answer yes, I say, praise God. Hallelujah. But maybe you're thinking, well, man, if I was to die today, would I enter in? Would I go to heaven? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Maybe. That's too important of a question to guess about. You can be sure. And today, you can write that in stone. You're here today, and God's kind of grabbed you on the heart. Maybe we caught you by surprise. You weren't expecting this today. But that's the way God works. He'll try to get our attention one way or another because he loves us, and he wants us to be part of his tremendous family. How about you? Everybody's heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here today and you would like to ask Jesus to come into your heart, there's one thing I want you to do. Just lift up your hand. Is there anybody here today that would raise their hand and say, yes, Herbie, I'd like to give my heart to the Lord today. Maybe everybody in this church knows Jesus, and wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But we never take it for granted. Doubt and unbelief are two of the biggest things the devil uses to keep people out of the kingdom of God. It kept the children of Israel out of the land, the promised land, and because of their doubt and unbelief, they wandered in the desert for over 40 years, and only two people from that original crowd were able to enter in. They were the two that wanted to go in the first place. That was Joshua and Caleb, right? Don't have to wander in the desert any longer. Is there anybody here this morning that would raise their hand and say, yes, Herbie, I want to give my heart to the Lord. Is there anybody? Wonderful. Wonderful. Lord, I just thank you for the special time you've given us. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you're interested in us, that you care about us, and you care about where we spend eternity. And not only do you care about the people inside these four walls, God, but you care about everybody outside these walls. And Lord, I pray that you just renew our heart, renew our commitment to you, Lord, that winning the lost would become a priority to every believer, Lord, that you'd light a fire in us to serve, that we would serve you, Lord, that everything that we would say and do would bring honor and glory to you. I just thank you, God, that for people like Paul and Silas, Lord, who gave us the example. We thank you for Jesus who paid the ultimate price, Lord, and cost. And it's because of his sacrifice and the blood that he shed and the resurrection, Lord, that we can have eternal life and hope. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be thankful of that fact. But I pray, Lord, a blessing upon each and every person here in this church. And God, if there's those who have yet to give their heart to you, I pray, God, that their heart would just become a little softer. And that soon, Lord, that you would remove the veil from their eyes, open their heart, that they would see the value in knowing you and receive you as their Lord and Savior. I just thank you for what you're about to do, because we know with you, Jesus, the best is yet to come. And all God's people said, amen.